For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, back with your weekly diet of everything non-league, and it's a big week this one with the FA Trophy and FA Vars reaching the last 16. I'm Tim Fuel, and I'm joined, as I am most weeks, by somebody who put the man into management with his booming voice and days of yore, a very hairy top lip. Good evening, Mr. Dave Anderson, former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Haribara, Hendon, and quite a few more.
Yeah, listen, there's not a lot of people would remember me with a moustache, but it is actually the truth.
You look very dapper back in the day, you know, with those cotton gloves as well. Didn't you have cotton gloves?
Yes, I did indeed, yeah. And that was not the two armed robberies, would hit you? That was a plain goal. that's very perceptive of you to look into my past, Tim.
Well, you know, I have to know these people that I'm dealing with. Yeah, and while we're talking about the people that we deal with, we'll send out some love to Swampy, who's suffering with the removal of his wisdom teeth. Hopefully not his wisdom.
Yeah, I find that startling that he has wisdom teeth, you know.
Well, he hasn't anymore. He's got him in the pot on the side, probably.
I've been out with him on a couple of times, and wisdom isn't what I remember. Well, bless you, Swampy. I hope you get better soon. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think he was going to have some alcohol last week when he wasn't feeling. He was feeling under the weather, yeah. So I'm sure he'll be topping himself up there. Well, let's move on to some news. So more news this week of the financial plight of Chester and the situation they find themselves in. There was a fans meeting when we were recording last week's show, and people there heard that the club needed to raise, I think, around £85,000 to £90,000 a month, I think it was quoted, to see them through the next 3 months with cash vital, even just to see them through February. Now, there's various donation sites bringing up, more ex-players pledging support, more fans going above and beyond. But really, they're more of the sort of headlines that we don't really want to see, aren't they, Dave?
Yeah, I'm really shocked by this as well, you know, fans own club, another success story, really. And obviously, if you don't pay attention in and around it, this jumps at you. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know how it's ended up where it has, Tim. Is there any information as to why they're looking for 85 to 90 grand a month for the next 3 months? What's happened to the finances, you know?
Well, I think we reported last week that the CEO is a position that they've made redundant from the end of April. And I think it just looks like cash flow, cash forecast. So whether obviously crowds are down because they've been in the lower reaches in the relegation zone for most of the season, you know, I guess with that you lose potential sponsors or, you know, all the little add-ons that you might, if you're having a decent season that you might there. But I mean, it does look like, you know, someone really should have been doing their budgets a little bit better. You know, cash flow is always a killer for small businesses, but for a football club with, as you say, a fan-run football club with the sort of...
The big support, you know, what's their, you know, like really good gates. I mean, they're not sort of by any means relegated. They're in touch with the sort of teams just outside of the relegation zone, and we've still to hit the sort of the hot end of the season, you know, the squeaky bum time, which you'd expect teams like Chester with their support to hopefully put a run together. But I'm really disheartened by it.
I mean, it's quite nice when you see, you know, the whole of non-league has sort of come together and everybody's saying, you know, you help with donations and that sort of thing. But then you look at, you know, if you're a rival fan, a fan of a rival club down there in that relegation spot, do you really want to give some money to another club that's, you know, struggling? There's got to be, what do they call it, a scruple as a non-league fan. You know, no one wants to see a club struggling, but, you know, it could be that they stay above you because they will be playing players. You know, they've probably got players on contract that maybe your club can't afford to put a player on a contract. So there's a whole ream of issues. And obviously, you know, similar saga up at Hartlepool. That one runs on and on. You know, finally, there's an official statement from the club this week. But
yeah.
The club wishes to assure all supporters, members of the local community and stakeholders that everything possible is being done to save the club from insolvency by ensuring we can engage with genuinely interested parties in equity ownership to fund a long-term solution for the club. I've written statements like that as well. It sounds a bit wishy-washy, a bit sort of like fishing help, waving a white flag.
Yeah.
I hope it's not because, you know, another massive club, you know, we've got the big you know, named celebrities and ex-players all coming, you know, coming to try and help out. But, you know, they're still trying to avoid administration. And again, it looks like it's a cash flow situation. So, you know, if one of their debtors suddenly, you know, if somebody is owed some money by them and they can't get paid, then, you know, they could then go into administration, and that gives them the 10-point automatic penalty. And yeah, maybe then they're then you know, risk of dropping into international North. Unfortunately, almost every season we get at least one of these, and we've got two big name clubs, and there's also, you know, other clubs I know sort of the next level step down that are potentially in similar situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's always shocking, but it's magnified when teams like Chester and Hartlepool, who are, well, league clubs, you know, people of my age and your age, remember them just as league clubs. And I suppose it shows you that no one's secure if they take their eye off the ball or things don't go right. Everyone can fall into trouble. You know, Leeds United have proved that. There's other clubs up and down the years that, you know, that. And every year we're talking about it, but it just seems ever more surprising to him when it's big, big football clubs. And, you know, the whole name of the game now is hire and fire managers willy-nilly, you know, which I hate. And I'm getting a bit more animated about it as the weeks go on. But when you look at what's been going on the other side of these football clubs, the sort of boardroom, because that's who sort of looks after the finances, then there's massive questions that people need to answer to the everyday supporter who pay their money, put their in their pocket more than they should, and it's just startling and sad.
And it does also show that, you know, the clubs that do survive without all these, you know, headlines all around them, how well they must be doing and how hard they must be working to keep their heads above water.
Yes, and I think the big thing is play within your budget. You know, don't spend what you haven't got. We've sounds so stupid and simple, but you know, when you do, no matter what size you are, if you start overspending and over striving and gambling that you're going to have a cup runner, this runner, sponsor from here, or money come from there, don't get it, then everyone runs a risk, no matter how big they are.
Now, you mentioned getting animated about managerial changes. So if we're not reporting about financial issues in non-league, we're normally reporting about another manager going. So more changes up and down the pyramid this week as well. National League, FC Halifax Town, the club, and Billy Heath have mutually agreed a parting of the ways after their 2-1 midweek defeat at home to Leighton Orient, and that leaves them 4 points clear of the relegation zone, but without a win in 6 matches. So we did mention at the back end of last year, Dave, about all those new managers in at the clubs in the relegation spots and how they would probably start getting results, and that might put pressure on those that were technically still safe, and that already appears to be coming true.
It does, and it seems to be the new dawn. That's everybody seems to, they want a reaction, they sack a manager, get a new. And all of a sudden the players in the dressing room become a little bit more responsible. My cynical side of me says that they start to think about their own future, and their selfishness gets them to turn in a few performances that turns the thing round.
Well, one more change this week, perhaps the most surprising one. In the Evo Stick South and West, was at Swindon Supermarine, where Dave Webb, he's been manager there since July 2012, but he paid the price for a run of recent bad form, despite being on the cusp of the playoffs still in the Evo Stick South West. No win since Christmas, he's been relieved of his duties. And then the caretaker manager on Tuesday night managed to get a result out of his side, and the Swindon Supermarine are back in the playoff spots.
Yeah, I mean, listen, unless sort of Dave Webb has been instructed to get the team up this year, otherwise he loses his job, or there's been a massive fallout with the board. They're sitting in a playoff position. All right, they've had a bad run in the last few weeks, but every team...
probably better to have a bad run at the start of the year than it is March and April.
What I find a little bit difficult, and I know, listen, I don't for a minute sort of try and disguise the fact I'm in the manager's corner here, because that's what I was. So I'm always going to see the manager's side of it. But I've spoke to managers before, and of every level. And, you know, if you're meant to be a mid-table team and you start off with 10 wins and you're top of the league by sort of 10 points, and you then lose your next 10, so after 20 games, you're bang middle of the table, which is the job that you took on board, you'll get sacked. And I would like people to look at it more, not in small periods, but in the big scheme of things. And this certainly comes to mind with sort of Sittingbourne. They're in a playoff position. They've had a bad run. Unless there's been we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, Tim. We're always sort of guessing. But if this has been solely out of the fact that they've lost a few games since Christmas, then I would say to the chairman and the board, stop watching the TV, because Watford do it and Palace have done it of late. And, you know, it seems to be the new theme, you know, just sack a manager in a Premiership after 10 games. And I'm using the Premiership. I know we're non-league, but we are copiers, you know. We whatever happens up there eventually finds its way down to us. Squad systems and, you know, even diets, if you look at how players are non-league now to how they used to be. But now it seems to be the hiring and firing of managers. And I always felt that non-league was a little bit more stable than the Premier League. But this worries me in as much as, is this where we're going with it now? That if you lose sort of half a dozen games as a non-league manager out of a job, well, it's...
Imagine how many jobs you could have had, Dave. I mean, how many other clubs could you have ticked off?
Listen, imagine how many jobs we'd have lost over the years. But I don't know. Maybe I'm a dinosaur and has moved on. For the life of me, you know, I always go back to Martin Murphy, who was chairman at Harborough a long time ago when I was there as an assistant and a good mate of mine. And he always had a good saying. He said, listen, sacking the manager is the easy part. It's what you do next that counts. And I just think that chairmen sack managers now to get a reaction out of their dressing room. Why don't they sack players? You know, it's just, I just feel that managers are being roasted from every angle. And it's amazing that every level of football, when you sack your manager, the dressing room wakens up and produces a bit of form for a while. Now, don't get me wrong, some of the managers that have been sacked will have lost their dressing room and the players won't want to play for them. But it's certainly not the case in all dressing rooms. And I just think that players shun responsibility now. Not all of them, but a lot more than used to. And what chairman and boards do is they placate that by sacking the manager and going, yeah, it's all right, it's fine. It's not. I think that the chairman should be walking into the dressing room and saying to the players, you need to get your finger out. You need to put in a few performances, because he's not going anywhere, the manager. You might be, but he's not. It's for me, it's the tail wagging the dog now. Listen, I know people sit at home and go, that's rubbish. Yeah, they're entitled to their opinion. But I'm entitled to mine, and I absolutely think that it's going down the wrong road. I've harped on a bit too much about it, but
there's more and more managers sitting at home listening because they haven't got a club to play with. You mentioned Sittingbourne there, and we spoke with Nick Davis at the end of October, and they were flying high, second in the Bostic South. And we think spoke to them about the trophy. Their game was going to be brought forward early kickoff because of the wedding celebrations already booked in, and he sounded so positive about everything. But they've had a run of bad form, losing 9 of their last 11, and he's gone as well. So they've got an interim manager in there. I mean, it's not easy being a manager, is it? And it is so. You know, what was that? End of October. It's only a couple of months. You know, a couple of paydays in the bigger, wider world, and he's, you know, his whole world's gone up in the air, because he seemed to be Sittingbourne through and through.
Yeah. Yes. And listen, losing 9 of 11 is a horrendous run. You know, you can't deny that. But I'm sure it did the same thing at Harrow and kept my job. You know, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but it is a bad run. You know, I think he's on the borders with it. All I would say is he's unless again they want to go up, they're certainly not going to go down. That one, I would say that he's in danger of losing his job if you lose 9 out of 11. You know, the positive fact for Nick is that they were flying. You know, there was like second before they hit this run. It's down to opinions, Tim, and unfortunately I'm biased with mine.
And it's a results business, they'll tell you. So I guess that's the
and you know, listen, that's why we argue about it and debate about it. That's why it is the game that it is, you know.
Okay, so as I mentioned at the top of the show, it is the last 16 of the FA Trophy. 8 ties in this weekend's third round as the smell of Wembley gets stronger for all involved. One club not too far from Wembley is the Crow Flyers, who have been quietly making progress in the competition this season is Wealdstone FC of the National League South. A few weeks into the season, long-term manager Gordon Bartlett stepped down and Bobby Wilkinson came in from division rivals Hungerford Town. And I'm pleased to say Bobby joins us on the line from his training session. Good evening, Bobby.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, how are preparations going for you? Warrington Town, your visitors at the weekend. What do you know about them?
Yes, we've done a lot of work on them, Tim, to be fair. Preparation's going really well, and we're looking forward to the challenge, because it will be a challenge. They beat Ebbsfleet in the last round. So, you know, we're going to be against it quite a lot, but we're looking forward to it.
And, I mean, you say you've done a lot of work on them. Do you have to send people to go and watch them, or have you... got the people that you tap up elsewhere in the country?
No, we sent someone to watch them. We watched them twice, and then we got the DVDs against Ebbsfleet and then their game last week as well. So you've got to do the preparation. You've got to find every little bit of information out on the opposition. We do that every week, whoever we're playing.
And I guess that's not an easy journey either, is it? So you're going to want to get this one finished on Saturday rather than a midweek replay.
Yeah, you're right. We definitely want to get that journey. Don't want to do that journey on the Tuesday. So you want to finish the tie on Saturday, and hopefully we can do that in front of our home fans.
Yeah, and you know, I'm local. Dave's local. You know, the club's got a massive tradition in the FA Trophy. I remember covering on this show the recent semi-final against Newport County, and that 84-85 season when Wealdstone won the non-league double. Is there a special sort of magic in the air this week being the FA Trophy?
Yes, you know, that was one of the things I learned straight away when I come here. Is, you know, these cup competitions are very important to the fans and the committee and everyone at the football club. And, you know, we're trying to just carry that on, even though we came in, you know, at the start of the season when it had already started. But we're doing okay in the in this cup. So I want to keep it going another couple of weeks if we can and see where we can end up.
Dave Anderson, have you got a question?
Yeah, Bobby. It is very local to me. It's literally around the corner. And it's a place I've been to many times as a manager and to view and have a couple of beers. The one thing I would say is that, you know, your home support is venomous at times. You know, it's a real sort of great place to, if you get your team playing, the atmosphere is brilliant for you. How have you that, because that would have been a little bit more difficult than your last job, wouldn't it? The actual support that Wilson bring.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. We, you know, they hadn't won a lot of games in the last 3 years, as you would know, at home.
So yeah.
The biggest challenge for me was to come in and turn this home form round and, you know, play in front of these big crowds that they are very fierce but very loyal and very passionate. And I'm very fortunate that for some reason it clicked straight away and we got these boys playing with that confidence in front, you know, and we've ended up getting about 14-15 wins now. We've only lost twice at home, so we've turned that around. But it is a very challenging place if you're not winning, but they accept standards and we've got to do that every single week. But when they're on your side, like they have been since the day I arrived, it's loud and they're proud.
Yeah, no, it is great. And, you know, a couple of things as a manager that you'll be dealing with this week. One is, this can be a distraction from the league. That all of a sudden the trophy takes one's eyes away from the league, and I'm sure as a football manager, you're trying to get them as high up the table as you can. So that's one, how you're dealing with that. The other one is you've sort of lost a couple of players into the pro game of late. And replacing them isn't always easy, Bobby, is it?
No, you're right. You know, to lose one of our best players yesterday, that I'm very pleased for him. He's very challenging, especially when you turn up to training tonight and you didn't expect him to go, and, you know, you was hoping he'd come back for another month or 3 months, you know, to the end of the season. That's very challenging, but these are the challenges I'm actually enjoying, to be honest.
Sure. And have you anyone lined up to come in?
I've been on the phone for about 15 hours yesterday. I've literally got a few things up the sleeve. I've spoke to a lot of people in the game, you know, a lot of favours. I've got a lot of friends in the pro game and stuff like that. So I'm hoping to replace that. But I didn't want to panic. A lot of managers might have panicked yesterday. I just wanted to make sure if we do it, we bring in the right person. You know, over the years, I'll be very open and honest. I've always gone out of the cups because I wanted promotion. And I've got these promotions over the years because we've always gone out of the cups early, because it can be a distraction. And as you're aware, I brought in 5 players, and they all cut side now for Saturday. So we've got to change virtually whole half of the team. It's quite challenging.
Yeah, and well, it gives the other side of it is, you know, has the squad got the depth to deal with that?
Yeah, we've got quite a big squad, to be fair. They're non-contracted players, and a lot of them are, you know, challenging to get in because I like my players hungry. Yeah, I think they're up for that challenge as well, because it's proven the last few games we've won the game 1-0, 1-0, and 1-0, and it's been, you know, quite challenging, you know, because 1 week they're in, next week they're out, and then they're fighting for their places. So I've got to give a lot of credit to the boys, you know, but we're trying to keep the feet on the floor as well and believe that, you know, their chance will come, the ones that aren't in the squad some weeks, and they deserve all the credit. You know, like I said, I lead them, but I just let them do the talking on the pitch.
No, it's last one for me, Bobby. As I say, I haven't been round since you got the job, but I will be sticking my head in at some stage. But I'm just interested in how you feel you are now. Is, you know, what the guy that walked in the door, obviously you're a few months into it and learning how to deal with big crowds, bigger budget, bigger squad, more expectations. When you analyse all of that, you know, when the Saturday, were you looking to take the team in the league? You know, is it playoffs out of the possibility, or are you still trying to strive into that?
Yeah, well, first thing I learned in football is I never predict where I'm going to end up. you're very easy shot down. You know, I've been around the game too long for this, you know. And the 3 times I got promoted with Hungerford, 2 of them I was favourite to get relegated. So I quite like being the underdog. I understand we can't be at this football club because it's such a big football club. What I tend to do at this football club right now is I take game by game. But when we're off the phone and not on air, I'll tell you exactly where I expect to be.
I'll pop in and we'll have a beer.
It's that little manager's club again, isn't it? Worse than referees, you lot.
Well, to be fair, Tim, when he answered the question, I thought he'd heard me being interviewed. that's exactly how I had answered it. But listen, Bobby, you're around the court. I mean, to be fair, I manage the local rivals, but I've always been well treated when I've turned up. You know, maybe it's because every time I went there, we get beat. But I'll be sticking my head in. But good luck Saturday, mate, and nice to speak to you.
It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. And whenever you're around, let me know and we'll have a beer, and then I'll tell you where I expect to be.
Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, can't wait, mate.
Take care.
Dave, certainly sounded a positive young manager. I know lots of people have hold him in high esteem for the stuff that he did achieve at Hungerford. And it is a big club, you know. We know fans and people that are involved in that club and have. There's a lot of expectation there. We've already spoken about Hartlepool, Chester, but you'd put Wealdstone up there with those non-league legends that have had difficult times in recent years.
Yes, and I thought of it, you know, in hindsight, when you look back, it was a good appointment, because the board have gone and got someone who has proven to be successful, knows what it's like to win and get promotions, and not looked for just a headline name. Because sometimes at big clubs, that's the easy thing to do, is to go and get someone who you think, well, he's been around the block, he'll sort of sort it out. But to be fair to Bobby, you know, he's been given the chance. He sounds as if he's relishing it. Doesn't sound scared of it. Sounds confident with it. It's the first time I've really spoke to him, truth be told. And you know, it's a local club to me and I've been in. And you have to have that confidence. You have to have the thick skin, because they are great supporters, the Wilson supporters. But if your team don't put your shift in, believe me, they will let you know about it. But he's learning all that. And I think as well, I hope they give him time to, and I don't mean he's in any danger of losing his job, but I genuinely hope they give him time to learn what the football club's about and the expectation of it, because I'm sure he will drive them on. I'm going to guess more next year than this.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
Didn't get a chance to sort of mention to him, but there is lots going on at the club. Rory Fitzgerald, who's part of the MD of their club sponsor, he's just come onto the board. You know, we mentioned about those two players, Abo Issa, gone off to Shrewsbury this week. He's a striker, and then a few weeks ago, Kieran Brown snapped up for the under 23 side at Cardiff City, and you know, he was someone that was playing, you know, Bedford Sports, step five, you know, several levels lower. And he sort of really come on under Bobby, and then, you know, caught the eye of somebody.
That's the point I was trying to make to him. You know that when you're on a run and you're in the last 16 in the FA Trophy and you're trying to drive up the league, success is a double-edged sword. It attracts attention, particularly of scouts and professional clubs.
Well, yeah, I'll be having a word with my friends at FC Video, because they now video the games at Wealdstone and do some great sort of snips. And, you know, there was a great goal that Abo scored against Western Supermare at the weekend that went viral. So if you have a chance, check out either the Wealdstone YouTube or FC Video at YouTube, and you'll see the goal he scored. And I wonder, because of Bobby's reaction there, that he was on the phone yesterday trying to get a striker, as to whether it was that goal that's actually sort of made Shrewsbury swoop in and take him and give him a chance.
Yeah, and it's obviously happened quite quickly for the lad, and you'd have to sort of off to your hat to Bobby and indeed Wilson for not standing in both sort of players, the last two or three players that they've lost, they've into the pro game, they haven't stood in the way, they've let the deal happen, they've let the boys go and chase their dream. But the other side of that is that when the lads go out the door, you're delighted for them, but you can't walk down the shop and get two pints of milk and another two centre forwards. It doesn't happen. And when he said about the 15 hours on the phone, he's not kidding. People think that's an exaggeration.
That's a half day, isn't it?
Exactly. And he will be trying to find out what's available, who can he tap into, who he knows. And he's trying to replace the better players in his squad. That's very, very difficult.
Yeah, and as he pointed out.
Yeah. Sorry, Tim, but the last one for me is that hopefully supporters understand that as well. You know, that when two or three of your good players go out of your squad, you can't always click your fingers and it happens straight away again, you know. But listen, none of us want to stand in the way of young players going professional. And, you know, Wilson and Bobby and the staff haven't, you know. So that's they need to be sort of thanked for that.
Yeah, I mean, difficulty, as he pointed out, with his, you know, five on new players that he's already brought in, finding a striker that's not cup tied in the FA Trophy could be a, you know, you're not going to find one lower, unlikely at this stage of the season. If, you know, if they're shone, someone's already snapped them up. So you're going to have to pull somebody out of the maybe an academy of a pro club or something like that and pull them in. And are they going to have the same impact? You know, the FA Trophy is all about experience a lot of the time, isn't it? And, you know, a wily old head. And
it is. It is. And
how's he going
to replace? I think as well that absolutely right with that, and you would guess that unless someone's coming back from an injury in a national team who has missed out on playing in the trophy, then he's going to have to go into the Football League. And if you go into the Football League, you're always going to get younger players who are talents, But they need time to settle into what non-league is. It's a different ball game. It's a different, you know, that every sort of young professional I've taken on loan in my career, every one of them's loved it. But it's taken them a while to settle into it. And you know, we talk about little sort of runs of form where your form dips a little bit. It can be down to situations like this. But you'd have to say, you know, Warrington, you know, the beat Ebbsfleet, they ain't going to be a stroll in the park, you know. And do you know what? The more I talk about it, the more I might go and watch it. Because I think it could be a real sort of the North versus South, all that stuff as well, you know. So
it could be a proper blood and guts one as well, yeah. I think, yeah.
Yep, yes, mate.
So it's the last 16 in both the FA Trophy and the FA Vase this weekend. In the FA Vase, it's fifth round, a big stage for clubs competing at Step 5 and below, and a perfect opportunity to get publicity for their club. One man hoping for the same, and of course for a win, is Windsor FC chairman and founding director Kevin Stott. And he joins us on the line to tell us more. Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm good. Now, you've got this FA Vase game, Handball Club, your visitors this weekend from down my way in Hampshire. Have you been able to get any scouting reports on them?
I think we've watched them three or four times. So yes is the answer to that. I mean, I haven't personally done it, but the management and coaches have done that. So yes, so we've done a job on them, I think, from that perspective.
And when you get to this stage of the competition, obviously, you know, I mean, I suppose a trip down the M3 is not so bad as some of them you might get. But, you know, it all eats into resources for a club like yours, isn't it?
They're coming to us tomorrow, so we're the home side.
Yeah, in terms of, like, doing those scouting reports and things like that.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, I think that I would call it a reasonably small investment is worth it if you win the game, really. So,
I'm sure a man has done a few scouting reports. Mr. Dave Anderson, you got a question?
Yeah, I have, Kevin. I mean,
hello.
How you, mate? Good to see that the club sort of seems stabilised and you're sort of doing okay after, you know, it's rocky road for a couple of years, Kevin. So I'm delighted about that. But the two players that will be walking out onto your pitch on Saturday, Kieran Knight and Barry Hales, you won't need to tell them too much about cup games, will you? How have they ended up with you? Because two recognised names.
Yeah. I think, Kieran, I mean, you'll probably know better than me. He's played for some significant clubs. And he's at that stage in his career, really, where he just wants to enjoy his football, and he has a great relationship with Ashley Smith, our coach, and academy manager. So I think it was that connection that certainly originally brought him to the club. Barry, once again, that's an Ashley Smith connection. Really, they played together at Chesham, and they go back a long way, Barry, I get on incredibly well with him. Actually, he's a complete gentleman and an inspiration to both the players, I think, the coaching staff, and the supporters. We seem to fit. Sometimes that happens, as you'll understand, having been a manager and coach. So it just seems to fit, and it all sort of fallen into place, which is kind of that magic ingredient that sometimes you just can't sort of create, if you like.
No, you're forever hopeful of it, Kevin. But the other thing I would say is that having both of them as a young player coming through at the level that Windsor are now, and you've aspirations to go higher, having Kieran Knight and Barry Hills in and around you in the dressing room on the training field is worth its weight in gold. It really, really is, because, you know, I don't know Barry, but I certainly know Kieran Knight. Barry Hills must be about 58 now, and he's still playing at a good level, which tells you...
I think he's 65, actually.
He's just, you know, we joke about it, but what a career. You know, so I think it's brilliant for young
players.
Well,
he's a phenomenon. He's a phenomenon, really. I mean, when Mickey Woodham and Ashley asked me, you know, whether we could take him on, To be honest, you know, I was aware of Barry Hales, but I generally didn't realise that he was 45. Otherwise, I'd have probably had second thoughts about it. I don't know whether they told me this or twisted my arm or whatever. I mean, I thought he was about 37, 38. So I just went with it, and I thought, yeah, he can still do a job at this level. And it was only about sort of 10 games in that I actually bothered to check on Wikipedia for some strange reason. And then it was only then that I realised that he was 45. But in truth, I don't think you can readily know. And he still has pace over 4 or 5 yards. And the way he plays in any event, I don't. He's a bit like a Teddy Sheringham in some respects, in as much as that.
Yeah.
You know, that pace was never a fundamental part of his game. So
first 5 yards are in your head anyway. But I mean,
they're in mine anyway. Thing,
I mean, you sort of sit in mid-table. So I suppose that the Vaz will take its focus now. But what are your aspirations for the team? Are you happy for them to finish, sort of take another year in the Hellenic? Or is it you're looking to get up as early as you can?
Well, I mean, my view is this, really. Somebody said to me personally, would I rather go to Wembley and win the Vase or get promoted this year? I'd take Wembley every time. You know, it's the kind of thing that people remember forever. And it'd be such a big thing for the club and for the young players and for the youth section. You know, we've got 40 plus youth teams now from 6 to 16, and those kind of things are really, really inspiring. So for the club and the town as a whole, you know, quite frankly, I'd rather go to Wembley. I also take the view, really, you know, we're at the top of this part of the football pyramid, in as much as the Vars is played steps 5 and below. And if you're going to go steps 4 and step 3, I, in some respects, I see steps 4 and 3 as kind of no man's land until you get into Conference South. And so you need to be ready to push all the way through. Otherwise, it's an expensive hobby. You know, steps 4 and 3, as you will know, you've been there yourself. So, to be honest, I'd be delighted. And we're in 4 cups at the moment. And you know, if we ended up winning a couple of those, and quite frankly, clearly the Vase for me personally is top of that list. Then I might just stop then, really. my dad, who I love to bits, who's now 91, you know, he's not going to be with us forever, and I think that would just, you know, put a tin hat on lots of things for him. So it would make my year if I could take him out to Wembley with Windsor. So
yeah, brilliant.
Well, I've got you on though, Kevin. You mentioned aspirations of going higher, but I guess one thing that's holding you back is this the ground situation. Now, I've obviously read various news reports. I know there's a petition. You're probably better at summarising it than I have. What is the issue that you've got at the moment?
I'll try and summarise as best as I can. When we started the new club after the demise of Windsor and Eton in 2011, the Crown Estate, who owned the ground, basically, well, I mean the earth, it's almost like ground rent in a flat, you know, that kind of stuff, said, you know, okay, we'll grant you a long-term lease, provided you hit certain criteria. So in 2011, we hit all of those. And for reasons which, quite frankly, are entirely down to the Crown Estate, despite delivering against all their criteria, they've failed to deliver. If you wanted me to summarise why, I think at one point they probably had different aspirations for the ground and perhaps considering selling it for building houses, and certainly on the edge of the Great Park, that was such a great value. The rest of it really. I don't know. I think it's simply.
It's that red tape that frustrates us all involved in the admin of football, isn't it? That's the big thing.
Yeah, I don't really think that they are even close to acknowledging that they've done anything wrong. But if it wasn't for, I think as much as anything, my, quite frankly, in some levels, stupid, dogged determination, you know, the club could have been stillborn. But I refuse to give in. To quote Dido, you know, I'll go down with the ship rather than give in. So, I'm in it for the long term, and we've just adjusted our business plan to take account that we don't have a long term lease. It's frustrating. It burns up huge amounts of time. I don't think I don't mean to be rude to these people, but it's almost like I speak French and they speak Latin, and there's no attempt to create some understanding, and that's hugely frustrating.
And so what lease do you have? Is it sort of a year-to-year rolling lease that
we have
at will type thing?
It's a tenancy at will, essentially, but it's difficult to gain any kind of grant on the back or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Knowing ground grading rules and grant application rules, it almost excludes you, puts you at the back of the pile, or you're not even able to apply for things.
Well, to be honest, I think that because it's Windsor, and I'd like to think that we've sort of managed ourselves well, we've always applied for promotion, even though we haven't got it, and nobody's resisted that. But for certain, I think that would be an issue. And certainly if we got to step three, I mean, anything above that, I think it would be a real challenge. So, yes, it's like a glass ceiling. So, at the moment, we just want to be the best Step 5 club in the country as an aspiration. That's not saying that we are, but that's an aspiration. So, that's a big ask, and I think there's lots of challenges in that too. So,
and I'm sure there's many groundhoppers out there that will say that you're certainly one of the best grounds to watch football in. You know, you've got your terracing all around, haven't you? That small stand and the classic clubhouse. Yeah, one idea I thought, you know, there's a big event going on in Windsor down the road, and same day as the FA Cup final. Maybe you could host a reception or something.
I'd be delighted to do that. I'd even do it free of charge, actually, but.
You might get the right person down with the paperwork.
Yeah, I have an intuitive feeling that would fall on stony ground, but hey, you never know. But they can use our car park if they want.
Bless you.
Well, right. Kevin, you've got a petition to try and get some support rolling for the club. But the address, if people want to have a look at the Windsor FC website, and there's a link there, but it's www.ipetitions.com/petition/Windsor-FC-lease. And there's a bit more information there. Really appreciate your time, Kevin. Wish you the best of
luck. Good luck, Kev.
In this competition and in the legal work, having been there and hit my head against the wall so many times. But I wish you well.
I've got a flat head, but it's not as flat as Barry Hale's. So I thank my lucky sponsor for that. Right. Take care.
Good luck, mate.
I mentioned the ground there. It is one of those classic non-league grounds, isn't it? And, you know, even with the clubhouse at the end, you know, the like asbestos type roof, and that it's what you expect from a non-league ground. And it would be a shame if, you know, maybe in future years there wasn't a club. You know, at one point there nearly wasn't a club there when the old Windsor and Eton died, and, you know, Kevin sort of resurrected it. But, you know, hopefully we can bang some legal heads together and get that one sorted for them.
Well, you would hope so. And it's another club that I spent some time working with when it was Windsor and Eton. Kevin was on the board then. And, it's just a real iconic non-league ground. It's got a good history. It's right on the start of the park. What really frustrates me is that you know, the Crown is, it's nearly like they're treating the football club like peasants from yesteryear, you know, when it was the Crown and the peasants going back to the 1800s or whatever you want to. They just need to poke them with a stick to get them to treat this football club just with a bit of respect. And in fact, in respecting Windsor Football Club, they're respecting all of the people in non-league and indeed football. And I think if they're saying that they can have a lease, it seems to be that they seem to be saying that yes, you can have a lease, then it's just an arrogance about what's happening. You know, get it sorted out. You know, get it someone. Get to the MP or get someone to speak to the Crown and get it sorted out. These are people trying to do the right thing within their community. You know, lots of youth teams and listen, you know me, where I'm from, a loyalist from Belfast, but I think it just stinks of arrogance on the Crown's part.
Well, we will be banging on the door. I don't know, with a stick, but with a large fist to try and.
We'll end up in the tar. You know that if we're not careful.
Yeah, well, you know me and a cause. I'll take it up, and there's lots of little things going on in the background behind the show. Yeah. Trying to get some answers out of different people. It's difficult, but we are all in it for non-league, and hopefully we will get some results as we go along. Okay, it's been a while since we focused on the top of the National League, and in that time, the lead has changed hands more times than the proverbial dog in a pub. Macclesfield still sit top on 56 points, with Aldershot Town second on 55, but with both of those not playing this weekend and their scheduled opposition on FA Trophy duty, that leaves an opportunity for third place Wrexham to go top on goal difference if they can win at second from bottom Guiseley on Saturday. It's all very tight in the National League and too early to get overexcited. But to tell us how Wrexham are approaching the run-in, club captain Sean Pearson joins us on the line. Good evening, Sean.
Good evening.
Were you aware that a win would put you top again this weekend?
Yeah, we was aware. Obviously, you do look at the fixtures. I think, well, most players do, you know, those that say they don't, most would be lying. So, yeah, we was well aware of that. Obviously, other teams are occupied with the FA Trophy this weekend. It's obviously a good opportunity for us to try and put some pressure on those teams around us.
Now, I'd say it's too early to get excited, but there's 15 games to go, I think, and new look playoffs this season. So even if you miss out on that automatic promotion spot, finishing as high up the table as possible really has advantages, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially like you say, this year obviously it's different. Finishing second or third is a big advantage, obviously not having to play the quarterfinal, going straight into the semi-final, and obviously with it being a one-off fixture, you get the home advantage, and especially for someone like ourselves with such a strong home record, it'd be a big advantage if we couldn't win the league. So obviously, our aim is to try and challenge for that top spot, and if not, we want to finish second or third to give ourselves the best possible chance of getting to Wembley in the playoffs and getting promoted that way if we can't win it.
Yeah, and obviously you've been here before with Grimsby, of course, going up through the playoffs, and you lost in the final the year before. So you've got plenty of insights to offer to those younger lads. Have you sort of passed that on, or is that the dressing room on Saturday?
To be fair, we've got quite a few that have been there and done it. I think that's probably crucial for us coming into this stage of the season. You know, we've got plenty of experience in there throughout the whole team, really, lads that have achieved promotions or been in and around the playoffs and chasing promotion plenty of times in the career. So obviously I pass on the best I can, but ultimately all you can do is take it. I know it's a bit cliche, but take it a game at a time. And when you get an opportunity like Saturday where the other teams aren't playing, it's important you try and get 3 points, but just simply because it puts pressure on. You know, them teams will look at our result after their games on Saturday if they're in the FA Trophy or if they're not playing. And if we manage to get a win, you know, it'll be a bit of a kick in the teeth for them. So hopefully we can get 3 points and we can put that pressure on.
Dave, I think you've got a question.
Yeah, no, I think it's a real valid point. But, you know, points in the bag's better than games in hand. You know, we'd all say that, especially in and around where you are, Sean. I mean, I've looked at the table. It seems to get tighter every year, the National, doesn't it? It's just ridiculous. There's probably 6-7 points dividing 6 or 7 clubs. As a captain, you know, in the dressing room with the lads, game on game, is it simply let's deal with this next one?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think you can't look too far ahead, because if you start doing that, you because of how tight it is, if you a couple of bad results in a row and all of a sudden you're looking over your shoulder to dropping out the playoffs rather than looking at the top spot all of a sudden. So I think this year, I think one thing that's made it tighter is, especially in my time in the division, you the bottom side have definitely got a lot better, you know, where maybe a few years back, the top sides, there's a big divide, really, maybe between the full-time and the part-time teams. And you'd maybe have in a season, you generally have a few easier games where you maybe win by 4 or 5, but that's pretty much gone now, you know. I think pretty much, well, you've only got to look last weekend, Torquay. I know Torquay have struggled this year, but they went to Macclesfield, top of the league, and got a draw. So I think the league's just got much tighter. The bottom sides have definitely improved and got a lot better. The division's become a lot more competitive, and now you just literally have to take it a game at a time, because I think if you look too far ahead, you end up dropping, like I say, you end up dropping points where you don't want to be, and then all of a sudden you're looking over your shoulders at dropping out of the playoffs rather than looking up towards the top spot.
Absolutely. And, you know, I suppose when you start to hit the running and you sort of, you know, maybe not with 15, but certainly with 10 games to go, then obviously players' form and sort of fitness is a big concern. Your squad big enough? Is it big enough and competitive enough to see you through that?
I think we definitely needed a couple of signings, and the manager's managed to get three or four in over the January transfer, and I think he's still looking at maybe one or two more in the loan window. So hopefully, you know, if the quality's out there, hopefully he can add. Because one thing, we have got a small squad, we know that. We've been fortunate so far, I think, with injuries, and hopefully long may that continue for this season. But, you know, one or two more bodies definitely wouldn't go amiss for us, is in terms of helping us get the big push over the line. The good thing for us, well, obviously you want to have runs in the cup, but in another sense, we're out of the cups at early stages, so we've pretty much, I think we've only got one Tuesday game left now, and other than that, we're pretty much Saturday, so hopefully if lads do have niggles, they'll be able to recover in between, and hopefully not having the biggest squad won't affect us too much.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, I say one defeat in 16 games, because it's in front of me. That's the only. I would love to be that knowledgeable, Sean, but I'm not. But I mean, the other aspect is, as a football manager, as a retired manager, I would always be putting a big onus on the captain and the senior players when I bring new players into the dressing room, especially where the club are in the division. You know, you need the lads to settle in quickly and be part of it and feel part of it. Is that something you'll be addressing? Is that how you see it, as your role as a captain?
Yeah, I think, we're really fortunate, I think, in the sense of just talking about having low numbers, so to speak, a small squad, is we're a real tight-knit group. And whether that's because, obviously, sometimes if you've got a big squad, some lads aren't involved for whatever reason, and then it can sort of sometimes cause problems within a dressing room, but pretty much everybody's been involved all season because the squad is as small as it is. So one thing we've got is a tight-knit group, and then hopefully lads just come in and buy into it. I know the manager does his homework. I know he goes a long way to make sure he's bringing in the right personalities, and he's made a big thing of that at the start of the season, and then as he's continued throughout the season. So, you know, the new lads that have come in so far have all fitted in pretty quickly. We've got, like you say, we've got quite a few experienced lads in there who are pretty good. I like to think I'm one of them. We make people feel welcome, and you know, as long as they buy into what we're after, everything's fine. And so far, the group and the players that have come in have just bought into it, and hopefully that can only lead to one thing, as in terms of us getting stronger and finishing strong at the end of the season.
Great time to bring a few new fresh faces in and all, when you're sort of looking to make a push, if you want to call it, make a push for the title. It just, I don't say it puts people on edge, it just refreshes the dressing room. Sean, do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I think if you're in the right environment, if you've got a good dressing room, generally people welcome new faces, especially if they know it's good quality coming in. You know, we've made a couple of really good signings. The lads, I think, in general, the lads in our squad have taken that in a positive light. You know, even if it's people coming in your position, I think people are understanding. With such a small group, it's not, he's coming in to replace me, he's coming in to add something else to the group.
Yeah.
I think as a group, we've taken that really well. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. No, I was just going to, I've been hogging this again. I do that from time to time when I get interested. The last one for me is, it's a stupid question, but I always like asking it. As someone who has gone up through the playoffs and sort of won at Wembley, would you pick that over going up automatically?
Definitely not. Just I'd love to win it. I think there's nothing. The stress. I've been a couple of times. Well, I've lost. Been a player four times now. Obviously, lost in the final, won in final.
Sure.
So I've experienced both sides of the coin. Obviously, don't get me wrong. I don't think you can beat, especially players at our level. I don't think you can beat going and winning promotion at Wembley. But the stress of it, and obviously the lottery of it, so to speak. Especially this year with six teams winning it. If you can win it, I think you win it and get it over and done with. Obviously, if you can guarantee winning it at Wembley, there's no better stage to go and win promotion. But we'll be doing everything we can to win it. We don't want to be in the playoffs if we can.
Listen, good luck, Ben. It's going to be a tight, exciting. Well, for us, exciting. For the guys in the dressing room, it's tough work. Sim, sorry for hogging that. Good luck, Sean.
That's fine.
No problem, thank you.
Just one more from me, Sean. You mentioned on the field, and it sounds like you're bringing extras in. You got that tight little knit side, which we saw so successful for the Cowley brothers last year at Lincoln. What about off the field? We've reported already today on Chester, on Hartlepool. Is the club set to go back up into the Football League off the field as well?
I think so. I mean, obviously, I don't know the complete ins and outs of the football club, but there seems to be a real positive vibe around the place. It's obviously a supporters-run club. Everything seems to be scrutinised by the supporters. So it's almost like if anything was to start heading towards what's gone on at Hartlepool and Chester, I think it'd be stopped pretty quickly simply because the supporters are so invested in the club, and obviously it is a supporter-run club. So I think in terms of that, the club seems to be in a good place off the field. It's a massive club within the community, and all I can say is I think getting a promotion would really benefit the whole communities in terms of, I think it brings them more people, more supporters along, and it just gives them something. They've had 10 years now of being in non-league, and I think the club is ready to go back up. It's just whether we can do it out on the pitch.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on it, and certainly wish you well at the weekend. And it might put a little bit of extra pressure on you with everybody chasing, but as you say, it's better to have the points in the bag. So good luck at the weekend, and hope to speak to you later on in the season.
Yeah, good luck,
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Dave, that's it. We've run out of time again. A full set.
That was good.
A full set this week. I got a chairman, a manager, and a player. That's like tic-tac-toe. Do I get a special prize?
Yeah, we'll send you a signed ball.
Yeah, I've got a few of those. They go down after a while, though, don't they?
They do.
Well, a big thank you to yourself, Dave, for joining us.
Pleasure.
And a big thanks to all our guests, and of course for everybody that's listening. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and if you want to put that podcast on your own website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.